Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. So Darla from advertising does not like my new tattoo.
Why not?
What'd you say about it? She said it's gross.
Gross.
She doesn't like blood, I guess. It looks like blood. I mean, there's part of it involves blood, yes.
Gross wouldn't be the term I would use for it. I don't know what I would use for it, but it wouldn't be gross.
Probably dramatic.
I guess you could say that.
It's like a big fountain pen, and it looks like it's slicing open my arm, which I can see how that might turn off some people. But it's a metaphor for writing, see? Because it says here, open a vein and bleed. It's based on an old quote about writing. So
I guess I like it, so.
Well, thank you, Dalton. That's all that matters.
Right.
What does Darla know? I don't think she listens to this, so we can
No, she talk probably doesn't know what we're doing in here.
Talk trash about her. Hey, welcome into the program. This is Prep Rally. This is Wednesday, the 15th of January, 2020. Thanks for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. We got the Twitter account back.
We did. Yeah, finally.
Finally. Sometime, was it over the weekend, I think?
I think it was the end of last week.
It was like Friday night or something. I got home and it was late, and I was just fiddling around with it again, trying to get it to work. And finally, Twitter sent me the code after about three dozen tries where they didn't send me the code. Right. And then I punched it in, and bam, changed the password just to be safe.
So whoever's reporting us for not giving you player of the week, stop.
Or whatever it is. That's what it was, man. Somebody reporting us for spam or something. I don't know. But we got a lot to talk about today, a lot of basketball to talk about because we're smack in the middle of it. We're going to do the basketball rewind first. Let's go back to Saturday. The Prentice County Tournament had a lot of county tournaments last week. And Prentice County Tournament, Neusite Girls and Boonville Boys win the titles. Neusite Girls defeating Baldwin, final score was 48-38. I was at that game. And Hannah Campbell had a big game, as she tends to do. 26 points. Shot 10 of 21 from the field, had 18 of her points in the first half, hit a half-court shot at the end of the first half at the buzzer, just inside half-court, nailed it. She's got range.
She does.
Remember she beat Saltillo on that long three-pointer a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one already.
I was at that game, too.
Yeah. You just need to start going to all their games, I know. I guess.
I'm Hannah's good luck charm.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of
or something.
Well, who was it last year? I was TJ Hanna.
Yeah.
I was his good luck charm last year. Every time I went, he went off. Every time you went, he...
Yeah, and then like me and Jacoby Williams at Baldwin, same deal, which Jacoby is still out with that ankle injury, by the way. Hopefully he'll be back soon. But anyway, yeah, Neusite's girls, they won despite going 11 of 28 at the free throw line. They were just atrocious at the line. It's unusual, I think, for them to not shoot that well. But it happens, but they played really good defense. They shut down Ayanna Reagan, the really good player for Baldwin, held her to 2 points on five shots. And so a good solid win there for Neusite. I think now, after last night, they're like 22-1. So they're just rolling along there. And Hannah Campbell doing what she does best. And so, yeah, good win there for Neusite to win the Prentice County Tournament. And then, as I mentioned, the boys of Boonville won as well. Got a good game from Brighton Smith. I had an update on him and the Blue Devils in Monday's paper. That was a late, late game. I didn't get out of there until like 10:45.
Right.
But, yeah, I think, you know, Boonville's kind of starting to put it together. They had some tough losses there. They played a tough schedule. But they got that win. Brighton had, let me see, how many points did he have in that game? He had 13 points and kind of helped close the door. He had a big steal that led to a layup on the other end and hit some free throws in the last minute. Of course, you know, he's the transfer from Neusite, point guard, senior, and been kind of a tough time adjusting to the new team and getting the chemistry all right and everything. But they've got a lot of talent on that squad.
They do.
And I think they're finally starting to mesh a little bit.
Which is good for them. You know, I've seen them a couple times this year. You know, you mentioned in your story you wrote they've lost to Ingomar, Holly Springs, Pontotoc, Tupelo, and Amory. I was at the Ingomar, Pontotoc, and Tupelo game. All three of those they lost, and all three of them they led by double digits before losing it.
Yeah.
And so I was really kind of confused on this team because you see them – you know, up on Tupelo and up on, you know, Ingomar by, you know, 20 points.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they lose that game. And then, You know, they lost to Amory, which Amory is
getting better. They're on
Amory
a roll.
Is getting better, and then they go and knock off Neusite, which, you know, I know they match up a little better with Neusite, but
right, yeah, and that's our number five ranked team, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see Boonville actually starting to put it together and actually be able to hold on and
yeah,
and win these games that they're leading by, because they've lost so many already that they were winning yeah. by a lot and just fall apart there.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, those ranked teams they lost to. Tupelo at the time was ranked when they lost to them. In fact, Tupelo was our number one team. Now mm-hmm. they've fallen all the way out of the rankings.
Yep.
Don't know what's going on there. But
yeah, they just they're struggling. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so – yeah, good win for Boonville. They seem to be putting it together. Let's move to Tuesday night. Ingemar went to Tremont for a big division game, division opener in 2-1A. Dalton, you were there. And Tremont made it a game. I mean, they're off to a great start this year. We did a story on them a week or two ago. But Ingemar showing why they're number one.
Yeah, no, I came in. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I hadn't seen Tremont this year, but they were 17-3 entering the game. And they kept it really close. It was about a 6-point game up until about midway through the third quarter, and Ingemar jumped out to, you know, about a 7-8 point lead early in the first quarter. Nathan Whedon had 6 points and 3 steals in the first quarter, but they had a Tremont kid named Devin Pounders came off the bench, and he hit a 3-pointer, and then he also hit he got fouled on a 3-point attempt, made all three free throws, had 6 points right there, made it a 6-point game, or it was 4-point game. Hunter Bonham hit a layup right before the first quarter ended. But it wasn't called one-sided, but there was a lot of fouls in the game.
Yeah.
It's just one of those nights where everything gets called a foul, and Ingemar got into some foul trouble. Nathan Whedon had to sit, you know, Hunter Bonham sat for a little bit. So, like, I think Ingemar played a lot of the first half with, you know, not any of their key players, and that helped Tremont stay in it. You know, Ingemar opened it up to about 10 points, 12 points there in the second quarter, and then Tremont goes on a big run at the end to cut it close. And then the Pounders kid actually got fouled again in the third quarter on a 3-point attempt, but he converted a 4-point play.
Wow!
It was a 10-point game at that point, made it 6 points, and then all of a sudden, Ingemar just within 55 seconds just put it out of hand. You know, they scored 11 points within 55 seconds. They went down, hit a basket. Then Nathan Whedon, who was in the game, he didn't play at all in the second quarter, came back in, got a steal, led to another layup, got another steal, led to another layup.
Yeah.
And then Hunter Bynum was the one that got that layup. And then as soon as he did, Tremont K got called a technical foul for saying something to the ref.
Yeah.
Made 2 free throws. And then on the inbounds play, Whedon hit a 3-pointer, made it, you know, they scored 7 points on basically that one possession.
Wow.
Made it, I think I don't remember what the score was at that point. It was a 49-32, so it was 38-32, and also now 49-32 in a minute. And they just held on from there. I mean,
yeah, ended up 59-43 the final. So Ingemar improves to 22-0, and Nathan Whedon with 17 points. Remember, toward the end of last season, he really started to come on strong. He's been a big player for them this year.
Yeah, I like his attitude, the little intensity he plays with. You can see where he gets a little angry sometimes and kind of takes over the game, which, you know, I was talking to Jonathan Ashley about it afterwards, and he said that him and Hunter Bonham have kind of taken over that role that Keelan Hall had last year. They kind of have a little dog in them on the defense. They just kind of
– yeah.
You need them in there to guard their best two players, and with both of them out, you know, for most of the first half, that kind of kept that game a lot closer than
foul
he
trouble.
Would have liked. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, well, good win for Ingemar. Also in 2-1A last night, I was at Wheeler as they hosted Biggersville, talking about the boys' game there. Smithville with the win of what did I say? Did I say they hosted Biggersville?
I don't know what you said.
I don't know what I said either. Anyway, it was Smithville at Wheeler. It's been a long week. Smithville with a 54-41 win. I mean, it's a close game for a half, 22-16, Smithville at halftime, and then third quarter. Kerry Standifer came up with some huge steals. He had like 3 steals in the span of just a couple of minutes, led to a 9-0 run by Smithville. And Mason Blair hit some 3-pointers. He had 4 3-pointers in the game, and they hit them all in the third quarter. And Smithville outscored Wheeler 22-9 in that third quarter, and that pretty much did the Eagles in right there. Blair finished with 17 points. Standifer had 16 points. He also had what do you have? He had 6 rebounds and 4 steals. He was all over the floor. Mm-hmm. Small point guard, but he is quick, man. And he's just, Wheeler had a tough time guarding him. He could get to the basket or he could pull up and get some space to knock down a jumper. And so that was an impressive performance by Smithville. You know, they're off to their best start in years, and now they're 18-3 and starting off with a win in a division play. Just got a good, well-rounded team. You got the Woodham kid. I mentioned Blair. He can hit the three when he's on. You got Blake Williams. You got some other guys that can step in there and get some buckets for you. So after that little run, it was 44-25 after three quarters, and it was never a game. And just a lot of turnovers by Wheeler in that third quarter, a lot of silly turnovers. Like, I mean, Coach Mitch Howell was just beside himself because they were making passes that nobody – had any business making. And right. Of course, Standiff were so quick. I mean, maybe you think you've got a passing lane and boom, he's right there. So Wheeler, you know, they're a little bit down this year. Jacob James had a good game though, 22 points, 11 rebounds. So double-double for him. But outside of him, they don't have any real scoring threats that I saw last night. And they struggled from outside. They missed their first 14 three-point shots, ended up 3 of 19. So that drops Wheeler to 8-9 on the season. Coach Nick Cohn of Smithville, pretty happy with his team, the way they played, especially defensively. I mean, James is going to get his points usually, but outside of that, did a good job kind of stretching the floor and making Wheeler shoot those threes that they could not knock down.
Right.
Wheeler coach Mitch Howell would have liked to have gotten his thoughts on the game, but he disappeared after the game. Locker room was dark. His office was locked.
I got out of there as quick as possible.
He didn't want to talk about it. That's fine. So anyway, nice win there for Smithville's boys. Let's look ahead to some big games coming up this week. In 1-1A, we've got Pine Grove and Biggersville in a boys game. Pine Grove off to a great start, 17-3 overall, 4-0 in division. Biggersville 15-0, 5-0. Looking forward to this one. You got Carson Rowland for Pine Grove. He scored 46 a few nights ago.
Mm-hmm. He's averaging a little over 20 a game.
You got Hunter Stacy for Biggersville, who is very capable of doing the same thing.
Probably averaging closer to 30.
Right. That's a game. I think you're going to be at that game, aren't you?
I am. I'm really excited for it. I think this is one of those games that I think I'm a little more excited about the player matchup than I am the actual game, which the game's gonna be good no matter what, but I really want to see Carson Rowland against Hunter Stacy.
Yeah,
and that's just in my mind. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that matchup and how they perform against each other, because you know they're gonna put up some points.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But I mean, this one's gonna be big. I don't know if they play two games against each other each, but you know, whoever wins this one, imagine, is the front runner to,
I want
to
say they do,
to be the one seed in the division tournament. So
yeah. Yeah, because they're in 1-1A, which is because I was actually talking to the one of the coaches last night at Wheeler, and you know they in 2-1A only play each other once.
Yeah,
I believe
1-1A plays twice,
so they're having trouble scheduling a game like for this Friday because they don't have a division game and nobody else is playing division, and right. So they couldn't get anybody, so they got a week off between games, which is not necessarily what you want this time of year. But anyway. Yeah, a big game up there at Biggersville on Friday night. Also, starting this week, the Union County Tournament. Most of the county tournaments were last week. This week, though, Union County starts on Thursday, playing it at New Albany. Figure Ingramar's boys are going to win that one, you would think, although New Albany's boys will have something to say. They played each other already once this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they played last week.
And Ingramar won.
It should end up, if everything works out the way it should be New Albany and Ingramar in the finals. And they played... Ingramar beat New Albany at Ingramar, 82-77, 5-point game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'd be a little different at New Albany, but that should
be a good one.
You know, if everything works out the way it should, that should be a really, really good matchup on Saturday night.
Should be. And we might actually have someone besides Ingramar win the girls' side of the bracket. They're a little bit down. They're playing better lately, but, you know, they're not what they were the last few years. I don't know how many tournament titles in a row they've won. I'd have to go look, but it's several in a row.
Right.
But, that starts Thursday. And actually, I think Ingramar's girls play New Albany on Thursday. New Albany's beaten them once this year already. So, and also, you've got the Mid-Mississippi Challenge, which is a really good tournament they have every year down at Ackerman, Choctaw County High School, after the recent consolidation. Got several area teams down there. Let me look at the schedule here. We got you got East Webster's boys and girls playing in it. You got New Sites girls playing Home Central. You got Ripley's boys playing Choctaw Central. Pontotoc girls playing Germantown. Pontotoc boys playing Southeast Lauderdale, and TCPS girls are playing Choctaw County. So that'll be a nice tournament down there in Ackerman.
I think Germantown. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, but I think their girls are really good.
Yeah, they probably are. Yeah, they've got that one girl. I remember it was either last year. I think it was last year, I saw them play at Tupelo, and they had like a freshman who was just insanely good.
5'10", Marion Jenkins, maybe?
Maybe, I can't remember.
They got a couple girls. Destiny Perry, one girl's eighth grader who's a 6-footer, so I mean, imagine they got some.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Germantown, yeah, they're pretty good. Okay, let's do the shout-out for this week. We're going to give a shout-out to the 6 area players selected to play in the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star Basketball Games. I believe that's going to be March 13th after the state tournament, of course. We had 2 area boys, Kylan Blackman of Oxford and Derek Fountain of Holly Springs, and 4 girls selected, Shemaya Carruthers of Tupelo, Dee Dee Shepherd of Pontotoc, Sierra Jackson of Ripley, and Azaria Buford of Lafayette. So,
yeah, I'm going to kind of just go through their little stats real quick.
Sure.
Kylan Blackman averaging 26.1 points and 7.1 rebounds per game. He's had a fantastic year.
Yeah, he has.
Derek Fountain, you know, Danny Dozen guy. He's been so good. I think he has an Oklahoma offer, all kinds of stuff. 19 points and 10.2 rebounds. On the girls' side, Shemaya Carruthers, 15 points. Dee Dee Shepherd, 15.2 points. Sierra Jackson, 21.6 points, 6.7 rebounds. And Buford's stat line is crazy. 15.4 points, 6.4 rebounds, 2.9 assists, and 6.3 steals per game.
And I believe that steals. I covered a game of theirs, I think, last week. I had her down for 6 steals.
Yeah, when she played Tupelo, she had a bunch of steals as well.
Yeah.
That might be the same game you're talking about. At the Tangle. But
yeah. So yeah, congrats to all of those players selected to play in that elite all-star game. Let's wrap it up with the athletes of the week. Every week we select a male and female athlete for their accomplishments, honor them for their accomplishments from the past week. Female athlete of the week is Kinsley Gordon of Myrtle. She had 39 points, shot 14 of 25 from the field, 10 of 16 from the free throw line, and she had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 8 steals in a 73-65 win over Ashland on Friday. And then on Tuesday, she had 22 points, shot 8 of 19 from the floor, 7 of 8 from the line, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 9 steals, as the Lady Hawks beat H.W. Byers 68-50. Kinsley, a very good young point guard there for Myrtle. Male athlete of the week, Jamerson Martin of Amory, had 11 points in a 60-46 win over Hatley on Thursday, had 40 points, Dalton, in an 80-56 win against Aberdeen, their rival, on Friday. Then he had 21 points against Smithville on Saturday, a 61-57 win, and 21 points Tuesday in a 66-63 win over Alcorn Central. So that's a those last 4 games, Amory has, I mentioned earlier, Amory's kind of starting to figure things out now, winning those 4 games in a row, and I think that's got them above 500, like 11-8, something like that. So
I was really confused for a second. I forgot that they played the Monroe County tournament. I was like, he played 4 games over the weekend?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then I realized what happened, but yeah. It's good to see them starting to figure things out.
Yeah, they won the Monroe County title there. So that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8, and I'm on there at Brad Locke. All right, we'll see y'all next week. Have a good one.